It's 10:25 in the evening. Great call on the game as always, Mr. Cat Dave Ennett, my dear, dear friend, and Ted Albrecht. Wanted to say huge kudos to Dave Ennett and the Northwestern Wildcats and Coach Fitz for being a Big Ten Coach of the Year. It was a rough game on Saturday, but you know what? They made it there. So Dave always does an awesome job. Unfortunately, Northwestern came so close tonight. But we have a great show planned for you tonight. We have two of my favorite people in the world and two of the greatest reporters from WGN Radio News in studio with me. First of all, tonight, as I said, Patty has the night off. Dave Schwann and David Miranda, the Davids.
Hello, we are here.
I love the fact that you guys are, we're going to talk the bicentennial because you guys were both at the big 200th birthday celebration
last night,
and you're awake, you're ready to go, you're okay, not too much partying at the bicentennial.
I had to come back here and make it sound like a news event.
And you guys, the stories that you filed were so good, and I know we're going to play a little bit. You got some great audio from George Wendt.
The Bears. That was one of the highlights of the whole evening.
I saw everyone putting Instagram pictures of George Wendt, and you guys were posting great pictures too, with the birthday cake and Abe Lincoln's oversized head.
Was that cake a thousand pounds?
Holy cow.
Talking to the chef, or the pastry chef from Eli's, and it's 1,000 pounds.
Was that a cheesecake, or was that just was a cheesecake?
Yeah. And there were tables scattered all around the room. It was the grand ballroom of Navy Pier.
Yeah,
and you could just help yourself.
Did you
feed everybody in the room?
Did you guys have a piece of it?
No, I'm on a diet.
I did.
Come on, David, you did, right?
I did. You know what? Originally, it was going to be at the United Center, and it was switched over to Navy Pier.
Okay.
So I guess that's why everybody was able to eat some cheesecake. It was a little bit frozen, but it was very tasty.
Oh, I love it. I just realized.
Oh, you had a piece then.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, he partook in a little bit.
I was tempted.
Oh, you have to. That's something that you cover, that it's okay if you have a little bit of dessert.
Sure.
I just realized there's three. There's David Jennings covering news tonight, David Miranda, and Dave Schwann.
Yep.
So I'm surrounded by three Davids.
You know what? To work
my
at
three
WGN,
favorite
you
Davids.
You either got to be Steve or you got to be Dave.
You know, that's
and
right.
And we have Dave Ennett.
Yep. And we used to have Dave Stewart, who was here for many years as well.
Sure.
Dave Schwann. Yeah. You're
or
right.
Steve's.
Or Steve's. Steve Cochran, Grzanich, Bertrand. That is a prerequisite.
Dave and Steve.
Michael, is your middle name Dave or Steve?
His middle name is Steven. Michael Steven Heidemann.
No, it is now.
It's not David. It's not Steve, but it does start with a D. It's Donald.
Donald.
Okay.
Oh, like close the president.
Quack, quack.
Quack, quack.
Quack the duck.
Jennings thinks duck, and I'm thinking
quack, quack,
Trump.
The president.
So, which do you want? Which is better?
You know what? I'm going to go old school and what the kids used to say with duck. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm going with that now.
Very nice. That's pretty good. Everyone has their quacking impersonations down. But we're going to talk about the bicentennial, and we are going to talk in the 11 o'clock hour with Judy Pilak, who dropped a bombshell this week and saying that she's moving on to greener pasture. She's leaving WGN, but she's still going to be the goodbye girl, and she's got a big, big series that's airing this week on the opioid crisis. So we're going to talk to Judy in the 11 o'clock hour. We're also going to talk to One Hope United, Stacey Rago. This is a really neat initiative that's going on for the holidays and helps ensure all kids will get toys this Christmas, which is absolutely how it should
be.
Absolutely how it should be. So, all right, we got a minute to dance up to the news. Did you guys catch the game? It was a tough game, wasn't it?
It was, and the Northwestern was ahead just for a bit, and it was really touch and go there the final minutes.
I want to know if Dave Ennett has to work tomorrow morning or if he has the night off.
That would be torture, right?
How many times, though, has he done a game
in the
evening? Any number of times.
Yes.
And then come back to do morning
drive. He really does. He's a trooper, and he also works at WGN TV.
That's right.
And I'll see him sometimes on Sunday night, and now that I work nights, I get to sleep in a little bit. And Dave Ennett will go right from TV, go home, crash for like an hour or two, and then come in and do the morning.
Yep.
So,
wow.
Yep.
Hopefully he'll have a voice for it.
Yeah,
they put up a good fight though today.
He's young.
Remember,
That's right. He's a whippersnapper.
They used to call Lester Holt old Iron Pants.
Yeah, remember?
And he's the new. Well, Dave Ennett's the new Iron Pants.
Yeah, he is. Was that pre? Was that mustache or post mustache?
It was because he was always working.
Oh, I know, but I always remember Lester Holt when he was here with the mustache, and then he had jury duty. He was the jury duty video. Did you guys ever have jury duty and see the video with Lester Holt?
Oh yeah. I remember that.
Wait a minute.
That is him.
Have you ever had jury duty?
Yes.
Once.
Okay.
Same here. Yes. Thank goodness I didn't get picked.
I got picked one time. Oh, we got to talk about this. All right. First of all, Jennings will do the news, and I'm just going to call you by your last name now because we have all the Davids here. So Jennings will do the news, and then we'll talk with Miranda and Schwani about the bicentennial and our jury duty experiences. Very interesting. All coming up. 10:36 in the evening. Thank you, David Jennings. Calling it Darlis and the Davids tonight. It's Andrea Darlis on the Patty Baskey Show.
It's
with me.
Good name for a group.
Isn't that great? Yeah Patty's on tonight. What is it?
Triple D.
Triple, yeah, one.
Darlis. Oh, no, but you're Andrea. Oh, you're
so
a.
I could be, yeah, Darlis and the Davids. How about
hey,
that?
Perfect.
I love it. I'm surrounded by Davids. All my favorite Davids. Miranda and David Schwan covered the bicentennial, but you guys, you went to the big celebration last night at Navy Pier, and I want to talk about that, but you have been, this has been a year-long story that you have both been covering. David, you've been doing it for us, a little bit for Telemundo as well, which is nice. So tell us kind of about your experiences. I know you did a little series, too, kind of to start everything off earlier this year.
Well, the celebration started since December. We started off, we've had a coin that graphic designer, a 21-year-old graphic designer won as a coin winner. They made the coin, and they also did a tequila. I covered a tequila for sure.
So this is like a tequila that they made just for the bicentennial?
Yes. And it's called El Nacimiento, which is the birth. It's called the birth. And that was brought out El Cinco de Mayo. And
oh,
that
was perfect timing.
Yes, perfect timing. So, like Governor Rauner said, well, it's a time to also be a little bit more diverse and to give opportunities for the Latinos that also contributed to the Illinois economy. But is there a license plate that also came out? I'm trying to recall. I have not covered that. That's why.
Yeah, Schwani, you were talking about
the license plates in Illinois that you were required or should have been receiving when you would get your sticker renewed.
Okay, so there was, it was a new plate.
Yeah,
then.
And they would send them to you in the mail.
Okay,
a couple of months wait. You know, 2-3 months wait, and then you were required to put them on. Mm-hmm. It was just a changeover. They do that every so often. It's been a few years since they've changed the plates. And they're not that much different than the ones that were out beforehand.
The red, just white, and little, the blue with Lincoln on
them. Lincoln Lincoln is very much in the center of it.
Yeah, I like our plates. I remember, do you guys remember a time it was just a white plate with, I think, navy blue writing?
Oh, it was boring.
So boring until they came up with these, which
and
I really
little
like.
Little tiny letters at the bottom said Land
Illinois.
Of Lincoln.
Yeah, Land of Lincoln.
That was it.
That's right. Did they have the big Abraham Lincoln head? I saw him kind of.
Yeah, it was a huge.
He was
actually right by the cake. He was right by the cake. Yeah, he was taking pictures. He was a celebrity right there. It was like a huge bobblehead almost.
Yeah,
Lincoln.
So cool.
Yeah, there's a little bit of everything for the celebration, Andrea. Because well, we talked about the tequila. We talked about the coin. There was also a beer, and the beer was thanks to 1818 Prairie State Farmhouse. The ale they landed in the shelves this year as well for the 200th birthday of Illinois.
All right, Illinois trivia. Don't look at your notes. What year was Illinois founded?
1818.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, that's what I
know, you just said it.
I was like, yeah.
I know, you just said it. All right, state bird.
Cardinal.
Final answer?
Blue Jay.
Cardinal.
It's okay.
Yeah. We'll do some more Illinois trivia. We'll give away some. Do we have any prizes,
I'm
Mike?
I'm losing it here.
We can,
we should have some prizes,
I think
prizes,
we have a couple of prizes left.
Yeah,
we can do some Illinois trivia before you guys have to leave. Thank you for staying up late. I know you had a late night last night and everything, too.
I've got a little bit of trivia.
Let's hear it.
What was the first capital of Illinois? The first state capital?
Oh, that's a good one. Was it Dixon?
No.
Which is the birthplace of?
Well, Tampico is the birthplace of Ronald
Reagan.
That's
true, right.
But
his boyhood home, right.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Oh, I should know this.
Don't look.
No.
I saw him looking at his notes over there.
Oh.
No, I don't have that. First state capital.
There are still some who argue, it should have been Chicago because.
Was it Chicago? No. Okay.
Okay. is it south of Springfield?
Way south.
Cairo.
Way south. You're close.
Carbondale.
You're close.
This
you're
is
close.
Why I needed tutoring close. All the time in history.
It was a little town on the Mississippi River called Kaskaskia.
Oh, okay. I would have
and
never
it was
guessed
only
that.
It was the only the capital for 2 years.
Really?
Yep. And
then
moved
they changed
in 1820 to Vandalia, which is now on what is now Interstate 70.
Okay.
They changed it there, and then in 1837, then they moved it to Springfield.
No,
so Springfield
kidding.
Is the third city for the Illinois state capitol, and there was a young guy named Abraham Lincoln that was spearheading
heard
with
him.
Some other people to move it to Springfield.
And that's when they did it.
And that's when they did it.
Have you had a chance? I think you've been there, Schwani. David, have you been to the Lincoln Library?
Oh, yeah.
In Springfield?
Oh, yes. No, I have not.
It is magnificent.
It really
is. I've been there twice.
Yeah.
And both times, I just love it. You just learn so much about Abe Lincoln and about the state.
Yeah. And one of the great things about it is that this is the first time they've had all of the Lincoln artifacts on display at the same time in one place. They've had them, but they would only bring them out from time to time here at the Chicago, what is now the Chicago History Museum, or down there.
Yeah.
They were kept in storage. One of the reasons why is they didn't have the room, but now they do.
And
so they brought out, and among the things, a copy of the Gettysburg Address that Lincoln himself wrote.
Which started?
47 years ago.
There you go. Very good. Our fathers brought... Did you have to memorize that in school? Did you go to school?
Yeah.
No, in Illinois public schools.
That's a good question.
I went to public schools in the South Suburbs, and we had to memorize, along with the Declaration of Independence, the Gettysburg Address.
Yeah, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Yeah.
But as a kid, you know, you're like a sponge. You just, boom.
Sure. And especially if you're into it, you know, and you just read it.
Someone just said, texted, the first capital was Cicero.
For the Italians, maybe.
Yeah, right.
For the Italians.
That'd be Athens. Athens.
Now that we're in trivia, what was the president? Which president was the only one that was born in Illinois?
The only one born in Illinois?
Yeah, American
was
president
Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan.
Yes.
Yeah, Dixon. Very good. All right, what did you learn? Now, you've been covering this for months.
Mm-hmm.
And last night, again, I said, was the big party at Navy Pier, the bicentennial. The gala is what you guys were at last night. What did you learn about the state that you didn't know before?
You go first, David.
About the counties, that there were originally, I think, 15 counties, and now there's 102?
Yeah, 102 counties.
Yeah, I learned that. I'm like, wow, how we have grown.
Yeah, we have.
One of the things that's interesting, since we talked about Kaskaskia, is that a flood and a somewhat of an earthquake separated the town. It's right on the Mississippi River.
Mm-hmm.
And it is now the only place in Illinois that's west of the Mississippi.
Really?
It's like an island, and there's a bridge that you have to cross there.
Yeah.
And there's some Revolutionary War history, as a matter of fact, with Kaskaskia.
That's cool.
General George Rogers Clark was holding off this part of the country against British troops and British-aligned troops. And on July 4th of 1778 or something like that, there was a bell in a church there, and they now call it the Liberty Bell of the West.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
There are so many cool things. Julian Cruz from Channel 9, he used to do a segment called Cruz in Illinois.
Oh, sure.
Now
love
he's moved
that.
On to Indiana.
Love
yeah,
that.
But it's so cool. So I knew, so I went to the University of Illinois in Champaign-Urbana and met so many people from all over the state. So if you say, like, O'Fallon, I can tell you someone I knew who grew up there, or Carbondale. One of my college roommates, she was from a town just a teeny bit west of Carbondale, but got married, and we all went down to Carbondale for her wedding. And I remember the direction. She's like, you turn left at the fork in the road, you pass the juvenile jail, and then there's the Holiday Inn at the end of the frontage road. But our state has such cool, smaller cities.
Oh,
you know?
Any number of them.
Get in the car and head south.
You don't have to go far from here,
yeah.
And you can find them. Yeah.
And wineries. There's great vineyards all throughout the state.
Oh, we
that's
have
been a
there.
Growing industry in Illinois.
Yeah.
The wine industry.
It has.
The last 25 years or so, especially in the southern part of the state. Yeah.
What did you learn, Schwani, that you didn't know during this whole process when you've been covering this for months?
Well, I doubt you learned something, Schwani. You know everything.
Yeah, Schwani,
you're
you know
walking encyclopedia.
You know a lot, Schwani.
Well, just the fact that the Kaskaskia was separated now from the river. I had forgotten, and they brought it up last night, David, just a memory jog, that there are actually four presidents that, you know, come from Illinois, Reagan being the only one that was born, but there were four.
Ulysses and they're watching, S. Grant.
Yeah, I'm watching the
Ulysses,
video last night. I thought, okay, Reagan, Obama, and Lincoln, of course. Who's the fourth one? It was Ulysses S.
Grant.
And I had forgotten that.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure, he lived in Galena.
That's another thing I learned as well.
Isn't
it
cool?
Always about Abraham Lincoln and Barack Obama. the first African-American president. And it was nice. Aside from all the performances, because we laughed like crazy, I felt like I did a thousand sit-ups with the comedians from SNL.
Oh, yeah. We're
can we play that?
Let's play some of that.
Do we have to break, or can we play that
Can we play that? Okay, so we'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back, and we will play some of the entertainment.
Hilarious.
We had you guys cracking up last night at the celebration at Navy Pier. More after this on 720 WGN. 1050 on 720 WGN. We're talking to David Miranda and David Schwann. I called you David.
David.
Instead of Dave. I always call you Schwanny, though.
If I hear that, I think I'm in trouble.
Right.
You know?
Is that what your mom did? David.
Yep.
David.
Yep. That's what she did. Yes, indeed.
David,
and if
then
I
you
heard
know you're
David
in trouble.
Schwann, I was in deep trouble.
You knew. All right. Illinois celebrated its 200th birthday party yesterday. There were sports stars, celebrities, music from rock and roll to, I heard Buddy Guy did Sweet Home Chicago.
Topped the show at the end of the show.
That's
it was
awesome. The stars of Hamilton
were
there.
You know who played with them also? Robert Cronin from REO.
No kidding.
They did a duet.
Oh, that's awesome.
Sweet Home Chicago, yeah.
Oh, what a show. You guys saw such a great show. And you, why don't you set this up, Schwanny? This is part of the entertainment that you and David Miranda got to listen to last night.
As far as I'm concerned, this was one of the entertainment highlights of the whole evening, really. They were talking about the amazing sports history that we have in Chicago and Illinois.
Not only basketball.
Not only professional sports, but college athletics and,
such
a great history.
Yeah.
The NFL being founded by George Halas of the Bears, and our baseball teams being among the oldest in Major League Baseball. And after they got all done with talking about, the greatness and our tradition and everything else, two guys show up on a table on stage just eating major beef sandwiches.
Oh, that's
turned
awesome.
Out to be Robert Smigel from SNL.
Okay.
And George Wendt.
Oh, of course. The
and they were doing
fan.
What else?
Super fans.
Da Bears. Michael,
can 200 years. 1818. Did you notice it actually, 1818 actually predates our own measures of time, namely the birth of a certain Coach Dickey.
That's correct, Carl. The state was actually founded in 121 B.D., before Dicka.
Before Dicka. Speaking of which,
how's that Jardinera going down about now?
Jardinera.
Yeah?
I got a little lodged in my aorta. It's good.
It's good.
Speaking of the coach, this bicentennial thing, I got to tell you, it's so big that the Bears actually chose to lose a game yesterday so as not to overshadow the importance of this event and this day. Very considerate of them to lose.
9-3 would have been too big.
Would have been a distraction.
Move. Yeah, and a part of the Bears.
The Bears!
They really made me crack up. You know how they started. It was hilarious because they started saying, this is the only place where you can meet two Illinois governors, not outside a federal prison. I was
that's awesome.
You heard the whoa.
the whole crowd, the lull of everybody
that
there.
Went on. They stretched that out quite a bit. That went on probably a good 7-8 minutes, don't you think?
Oh, yes, big time. Yeah. And you know what? Not only sports, they talked about so many things in Illinois. Right now, I'm forgetting details about it. Even the Ronners were cracking up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They were laughing like and Governor like J.B. Pritzker. I thought they were going to share the stage.
Oh, yeah. They didn't.
No, they were more
they were
out
separate.
Front.
On a little runway?
On a platform runway, just right in front of the audience.
Oh, wow.
You know, it may as well have been the SNL set what they had.
That sounds like it was so much fun. I saw some of the highlights, and it looked like it was so much fun. You guys really went to such a great event and a great celebration. 312-981-7200 is our number. Before we set the Davids free, we're going to play a little Illinois trivia. You can win a Lumel Nadi's gift card, so give us a call. We'll take two callers, 312-981-7200. You have to call, not text, but you guys are getting some great, great texts, people saying that they love hearing from the Davids. Schwanny Kaskaskia has a Missouri zip code, but it is in Illinois.
Yeah.
That's wild. What's the farthest south you have ever traveled in Illinois?
For me, it's it is Cairo.
Oh, you've been to Cairo?
Yeah.
I've been to Carbondale.
Many years ago.
Okay.
And then also Metropolis, home
I've
of
Superman. I've always wanted to go
on the Ohio River.
To see the Superman statue.
Yeah.
Always wanted.
Road trips are always good. I would say Carbondale is probably the farthest. Yeah.
Up until I had gone to school in Champaign-Urbana. I lived in Urbana first, then Champaign. That was the farthest south I had gone, and then down to Carbondale.
You get an idea of just how big state is.
Oh my God! Yeah. It's about 6 hours, 6.5 hours
at least
down to Carbondale.
Yeah.
You know that the school name was changed in 1885. That's another thing I didn't know, from Champaign Urbana. It was the Industrial University originally, I believe, and then in 1885 it was switched to. You were just talking about it.
University of Illinois.
University of Illinois, yes.
UIUC, yeah. The greatest school in Illinois.
Yeah.
Got to give it a little plug there, ILL. Okay, let's take... Anne is calling from Barrington. Anne, how are you doing? Mike, you want to pop in? Oh, there she is. Awesome. All right, Anne, are you ready? We're going to do some trivia here. So, let's see. You can use Dave Schwann or David Miranda as a lifeline. How about that?
Okay, thanks.
Since they're the experts. And it's going to be multiple choice.
Wink, wink, okay. Experts.
It's multiple choice. And I took their papers from them, so they can't cheat. So you will be getting a true and an honest lifeline. Okay, Anne?
Okay.
All right, the question, which of these Illinois cities has not been proclaimed an All-American city by the National Civic League? Which Illinois city has not been proclaimed an All-American city by the National Civic League? And here's your choices. Oak Park, Chicago, Champaign, East St. Louis, or Decatur? You want the choices again?
I have an idea.
Okay, here's your choices. Oak Park, Chicago, Champaign, East St. Louis, or Decatur? And you can use Mr. Miranda or Mr. Schwann as a lifeline if you'd like.
Mr. Schwann, please.
All right, Schwann.
Hello.
Anne needs you.
I am going to say East St. Louis.
Okay. Do you want to go with that, or do you want to ask David Miranda for help? Ask David Miranda for help.
Mr. Miranda.
Okay, David.
That was not my choice.
Mr. Miranda, what are you thinking?
Thanks to Schwann, he beat me to my very first choice. My second choice would be Oak Park.
Okay.
Oh, no, I know it's Oak Park is not. All right, let me go with Schwann's answer.
You really want to go with Schwani's answer? You don't want to go with...
first choice...
What was your first choice?
...was Chicago. Mm-hmm. Because the other cities are just more town-like.
Do you want to go with the city that has the greatest school in the state, perhaps?
Yeah.
Were you going to say Champaign? I thought you were going to say Champaign, Anne. I felt it.
I saw your crystal ball. Andrea. Look at you. No wonder.
You are a winner of a Lou Malnati's gift card. Lou Malnati's home to Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. So congratulations, Anne.
Champaign.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Hold the line. Talk to Michael. He'll take your information down. And I think we have time for one more. Can we do Betsy real quick, Michael? Betsy's calling from Woodstock. I love Woodstock. That's a fun city. We've done
love
a bunch of remotes
house.
There. We love your city,
Hi
Betsy.
There. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Your question, and again, you can use Dave Schwann or David Miranda as a lifeline. I'll give you multiple choice. Where is Lincoln County in Illinois? Where is Lincoln County? Is it near Springfield, near Chicago, near East St. Louis, or there is no Lincoln County?
This is an easy one.
And you can ask again, Dave Schwann or David Miranda.
An easy one.
That was Michael, who was not a lifeline, but apparently.
Oh, I can't use Michael.
All right, you can use Michael. Yeah, because he's hard at work behind the glass. You can use Michael.
Okay. All right, I'll use Michael.
Okay.
All right, I'll give you a little hint here. It's pretty darn south is what I'm thinking. Correct?
Like, he's using his
like
thinking beard.
Like outside of Illinois?
Nah. I'm double backing
okay,
on this.
I'll say it does not exist then.
You are right, Betsy. There is no Lincoln County in the state of Illinois.
How shocking, right? You would think there's
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, Lincoln,
and,
you know,
Lincoln, Illinois.
And here's another trivia. There is no statue of Lincoln in Lincoln Park, and there is no statue of Grant in Grant Park. But there's one of each
one
in
of
the
each
other.
In the other, parts. Yeah.
Yeah, isn't that wild? So, hey, thanks, Betsy. Hold on. You win a pizza, too,
thanks
from Lou Malnati's. You're
That's
so welcome.
Great.
Hold on.
You.
Hold on. Talk to your bestie, Michael.
Okay.
This would have been a great time to bring the Abraham Lincoln statue that we had at the Pioneer Court, right? Great timing.
Yes.
Yeah. The Gettysburg, remember? Yeah.
Well, you guys are awesome. David, continue to do great work for Telemundo and for WGN Radio. Shwani, you do great work as well for WGN Radio as well and your other gig, WTTW. And I love having you guys here, and thank you so much. I'm glad you had a great party last
night. Thank you.
And you continue your great work at WGN Radio and WGN TV.
I love you guys. We'll take a picture, Darlis and the Davids, after this. Thanks, you guys. More after this on 720 WGN.
I am woman, hear me roar, in numbers too big to ignore, and I know too much to go.
Oh, you know that theme song. You know who's coming on with us. 11, 10 in the evening.
My song now? That's hilarious.
Judy, that's always been your song.
Remember, it is, I guess. Yep.
Remember we were singing that in the newsroom, me and you and Kim Gordon, and I don't know, at one point you kind of branded that the theme song for all of us, but it will always be synonymous with you.
That is so funny, and you're right. That was so long ago, but it still resonates. You know what I'm saying?
I know it does. It absolutely does. All right, before we start, Jude, we have to talk about the white elephant in the room. Thank you so much for staying up late for us.
Absolutely.
No, I'm kidding. No, you dropped a bombshell on the radio station and all of your dear friends here by saying at the end of the year, you are on to greener pastures. You got other things going on.
You know what? It's all timing and the time was right. And yes, I'm taking a buyout from the company because it just seemed like the best thing to do at the time.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And actually, I have no regrets. I still think that was a few weeks ago and I kind of made a little bit of a split decision, but you know, I've been thinking about it a while. I have been at that radio station for 32 years.
How about that?
Enough.
Oh, my God. And remember you trained me? I always bring this up. Every November 8th, you're like, oh, my God, enough with that. Enough with it.
Enough, Andrea. I know. I did
I know,
you.
And
that's
you bought me McDonald's.
So
I know. Thank you, Judy. I take that as a compliment. Well, we wanted to talk to you about a couple of things. First of all, you're leaving WGN at the end of the year, but you will still be around. People can still see you as the goodbye girl.
Absolutely. I'll still be doing that always. I love the goodbye girl, and I could never give that up.
Good, because every time you call and you're on the program, people are always asking about tips and ideas. In fact, we just got a couple of gifts from Goodwill, all of the shows. The white elephant. That's super cool.
You know what? How awesome are those white elephant gifts? It gives you some great ideas, because I don't know about you, but every year I am invited to a party, and I'm asked to bring a good a white elephant gift.
Right, I know.
And then every year I'm like, oh, I'm always looking around my house. But, you know, you just do a quick run to Goodwill. Literally, I think you can find a white elephant gift on every single shelf.
Judy, they sent me a wine glass. It's the coolest shaped wine glass. It's not stemless, but it's got a tiny little stem, and it almost looks like, I don't know, like a Pinot Noir glass. It's just the coolest shaped wine glass I've ever seen.
Now, that's interesting. They sent me like a martini glass, and it says Lolita on it.
Oh, really?
Well, I might just keep that.
I love that. We're going to talk Goodbye Girl, too, but I wanted to first talk, or Goodwill, rather, but I first wanted to talk about your series. You're doing a series this week, which David Jennings just played in the news at 11 o'clock, and it's on the website, WGNradio.com, on the opioid epidemic. I mean, this is a topic that you've been following for many years.
Yes. You know what? At least 10 years now, I did a series on heroin in the suburbs, which I think at the time was a big surprise to people that heroin was so big and that it was happening with, young kids in the suburbs mostly. And that was a really big eye-opener, I think, for a lot of people. Now, you know, 10 years later, we've got this opioid crisis epidemic. I mean, the federal government has declared it a national health emergency. And the series is a three-part series, and really I kind of wanted to make it just kind of more informational, because I think a lot of people don't really even understand what the opioid crisis is, even what an opioid is.
Right.
It is heroin, but it also is painkillers. And, you know, in the past 10 years, what's been happening is the market's been flooded with these painkillers. You know, everyone, you have any little pain and they just give you pills for it. Well, what happens is that's fine. And people need to understand that when you are in pain, you should be taking painkillers opioids, because that is the best thing for your pain. However, what's been happening is the pharmaceutical companies were making way too much of it. Doctors were writing way too many prescriptions for it, and it was getting into the wrong hands.
Right.
So it's not so much the people who need it for their pain. It was that they maybe didn't take it all, or they didn't take it, you know, at all. And it's sitting in their medicine cabinet, or, you know, they're selling it, or someone's stealing it. But what happened was it just flooded the streets. And that, in effect, you know, still resulted in what I would consider a heroin crisis. Because people go from generally the painkillers. They can't get them anymore now because you can't get a prescription. So they go to the next thing, which is heroin, or even worse, if you can imagine something being worse than heroin, there is, called fentanyl.
Boy, and you know what, Judy? What I learned, too, it's not just, it isn't just heroin. It is, like you said, the Norco, and it's any age. You know, it's not, you think, oh, someone maybe in a bad neighborhood of Chicago hooked on heroin. No, it's seniors, and in fact, I talked to you about this. My mom broke her pelvis and a couple of ribs, you know, in a treadmill accident. She's, you know, she exercises more than I do. But she...
Yeah, what's a treadmill?
I know, right? And she had a fear. They gave her Norco, and she was scared to death. She said, I don't want to get hooked on this. And I'm going, oh, no, you're fine. You just take it for a couple of weeks, and you're fine. And sure enough, the doctor, you know, prescribed it in very small doses. But it's any age, right, Judy? It's not just, you know, a young
person. Absolutely. And that's a great point. It is okay to take it. The people who are prescribed painkillers for actual pain don't become drug addicts. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
It's that it's lying around, or someone takes it, or, you know, you give it to someone when they ask. It's basically the addict who is, you know, going to take that. And I, you know, believe me, everyone agrees. What has happened, though, is, you know, people might not, you know, they might not have become heroin addicts had it not been that they took those painkillers, you know, at an early age or whenever. And, you know, you're right about it. It crosses all cultures, all genders, all ages. And it's certainly not the person in the bad neighborhood like that you used to think about, you know, decades ago with heroin. This doesn't happen. It is a suburban problem. It is a wealthy problem. It's not, you know, the poor person who, it just, you know, the general picture people have of a drug addict, it's just not true. You know, it may have been at one time, I don't know, but it's certainly not true now. These are, you know, people that you would never even think who would have a drug problem. And, you know, the worst thing is, the painkillers, they've gone on to worse things, the fentanyl, and which, by the way, is one of the most powerful painkillers. They do prescribe that many times in the hospital, like when you're having surgery.
Yeah.
But that, you know, as we have come to know, it is now man-made. It's produced, you know, much of it in China, and it comes over here, and it just is responsible for so many deaths. I mean, I believe last year, 65,000 people died of opioids. It's unbelievable to think about. So, I mean, there's that. You know, the good news is several years ago, everyone, and, you know, the best news about this is that everyone is trying to make it better.
Right.
It's one of those things that crosses partisan lines. So this is one thing that everyone can agree on, that something, you know, the solutions need to happen. So, and it seems like maybe it is getting better. So, you know, of course, doctors are writing less prescriptions now that they know. Drug, you know, everyone's going after the drug companies, so they're pulling back and not producing as much and putting it out there. So they're thinking that this year, you know, there'll hopefully be fewer deaths than there were last year, and that, you know, we can go on from there. And really, the bottom line in all of this is, as it always is treatment.
Right.
You know,
right.
You can take the drugs, you can try to stop them from being made or get on the street, but really the bottom line is the people are. They're already hooked on it. And what are you going to do about that? And, you know, more programs to show people just how devastating it can be.
Judy, how is Illinois faring as far as treatment or, I guess, prevention of that sort? I know J.B. Pritzker is going to be the new governor, and he's going to probably hop on the bandwagon as well. President Trump just this year saying it's one of the biggest crises, if not the biggest, that we've ever faced. And I think the Surgeon General was just in DuPage County a few weeks ago touring a facility there. So is Illinois kind of being proactive?
Yeah, Illinois is. Many states are. Illinois is certainly not the worst state. It's maybe one of the worst, but a lot of the smaller East Coast states really have had some horrible problems with opioids. And some of the areas, maybe Ohio, like where they have had, so many job reductions or, people they do get injured on the job.
Yeah.
There's just been pockets where it's just really been, just a horrible, tragic event for those communities. But it's happening everywhere. It is everywhere. Nobody is immune to this problem. And everyone is trying to, do the right thing. And I think even in the city, Mayor Emanuel has announced some problems. I think he had a lawsuit against the pharmaceutical companies. A lot of the cities and states have banded together to do that as well. So, progress is being made. Everyone's aware of it. And so it almost is like you have to take it to the next level. It's, we know, there's Narcan, of course. Things have been happening. It's actually, I am shocked at how quickly and concisely, this problem is being pinpointed because, as we know, government agencies, and it's just hard to get everyone together and to work together on a solution. But this is the one time I think that it is happening, and it should continue to happen. But the treatment piece is I think what's key, because you're just not going to see. You could, like I said, you could stop the drugs from coming in. You can educate people, but at some point, you really have to ramp up. And teach people why it's bad and how to get past it even, because, if 65,000 people died, how many more are still in the throes of this devastation?
Well, I know you did a ton of research on it. It sounds awesome. You can hear parts 1, 2, and 3 in our newscasts today for the rest of the overnight hours. And tomorrow and throughout the whole day, it's Judy's Opioid series. What's the title?
Well, yeah, it'll be actually tomorrow and then Thursday. And then all three parts will be on WJRadio.com.
Yeah, absolutely. So you got to catch it. It sounds awesome. Judy, hold on. As long as you're aware. And just, come in late tomorrow, right? Come in when you want tomorrow. Hold on, we do want to talk goodbye, girl, just and goodwill real quick with you too, because people are already texting. I told you, it always happens. People are asking about holiday parties.
I have some great ideas for some holiday gifts.
Okay, awesome. Hang on the line. It's the great Judy Pilak from our newsroom. We're going to take care of a little business and come back with Judy right after this on 720 WGN. It's 10:25. We continue our awesome conversation with the great Judy Pilak from our WGN newsroom. You heard her talk about her opioid series that's airing this week and tomorrow and Thursday as well on WGN Radio. You can catch it on WGNRadio.com. Judy's also our goodbye girl, and people are texting Judy. We're going to miss you. We love Judy, and we're going to miss Judy from the 773. I'll screenshot all of it for you.
I love our listeners.
I know.
I will miss them, but...
But you will
still be around.
Yeah, you'll be around as the goodbye girl. So, and you
Absolutely.
Have some holiday tips. All the parties are about to start now this weekend.
Yes. So, and actually tomorrow I'll be going out to film my this month's goodbye girl. But I'll let you in on the secret ahead of time and tell you what I'll be doing.
Okay. Cool.
It's all about gifts, of course. People don't have a lot of money to spend, or you don't want to spend a lot of money. And I am all about recycling and upcycling. Even if you have the money, you don't have to spend a lot of it. It's ridiculous. So go to Goodwill. Let's say you have a reader in your life and you want to get them something. Goodwill now has Oprah books and Amazon books, so it's so great. And they're all in one section, so they're easy to find. So, I would maybe get a stack of books, 4 or 5 books, and then put a big ribbon around them and tie it up, and voila, there's your great holiday gift that you can give someone. Or say you have maybe a cook in your life. Go to Goodwill, find a big pasta pot, put a cookbook in there, maybe a couple spatulas, maybe an oven mitt, some kitchen towels, a great gift for someone who likes to cook. I would think of giving you that, Andrea, but...
Okay, let me just tell you...
Maybe a couple cookbooks.
Wait, can I just tell you, I actually got you a cookbook last night. Jason Balin was in from the Golden Girls pop-up, and he brought a couple of cookbooks, so I saved you one, which I'm going to put in your drawer. You're going
to
like the title, too.
You want me to make you something? Is that it?
No, but we do have to tell... I have to tell... I made the chicken pot pie tonight, by the way, and thought of you.
Did you really?
You get... Don't get mad. I want you to hang on for one more segment. I know it's late, but again, you can come in late tomorrow. But I want to talk to you about more Goodwill stuff and tell the recipe story.
Okay.
All right. Hold on. This is Judy Pilek. We'll be back with more after this on 720 WGN. Thank you, David. 11:35 in the evening. It's the Patty Vasquez Show with me, Andrea Darlis. Patty has the night off. We are talking to the great Judy Pilek, our own goodbye girl. And I didn't want to cut you off, Jude. We had to get through the news, do a little business, and then we wanted to finish out talking about just some more ideas for the holidays and for Goodwill.
Okay, you get one more minute. That's it.
Come on. You can call and sit. You can call. You come in late tomorrow. You run the place now. Come on.
Well, I can't do anything. I want to do something. I do fire me.
Yeah, I know. I love
that's
that.
That's my new mantra.
I know. Unfortunately, I can't use that.
Yeah, but I can't.
Yeah, I know, right? So, all right. So you're getting more texts. I just screenshotted some for you. 301, we're going to miss you, Judy. And then I can't tell if it's a sad face. I think it's a face with, like, the line. So I think they're happy for you, but that they're sad that they're not going to hear you every single day.
Aw, that's nice.
What are you going to miss most, Jude?
Nothing.
No, come on. Besides me and Kim.
Well, of course I will miss the people most. And, I mean, it's funny. I love what I do. I still love what I do. I need to do something else. I feel the need that, you know, before I actually, you know, officially retire, that there's something else I have to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what yet, but, you know, it's just, I've been thinking about it for a while. The timing's right, and I need a new adventure, put it that way.
Yeah.
But I will miss, I mean, I love doing the news. I love talking on the radio. I do.
Well, you do it so well. You do it well.
Oh, you're sweet. Thank you.
Hey, Judy. All right, so we're talking a little more about ideas, things that you can get from Goodwill. How about setting a table, you know, or how about, like, getting your decorations ready?
Every tree
I see. I wanted to get a little tree, Judy, for, like, kind of my family room area, but everything is just, you know, over $100. Even the going out of business sale at Sears, the trees are so expensive, but I can go to Goodwill and get something little like that, right?
Absolutely. Especially the smaller trees, they're everywhere, and they're so cute, and yeah, perfect. You live in an apartment, and you have a small space. I mean, great. And really, any kind of holiday decoration you need, they have racks and racks of stuff. And, you know, I always say this, they make it so easy. If you go into any Goodwill store, those racks right now will be right up front, and there will be just shelves and shelves of any kind of Christmas decoration you need, including, you were saying, setting the table. I actually, that video is running right now where I set the table for the holidays. Oh, my gosh. I found at one store everything I needed, all the plates, all the silverware, all the glassware, everything, the decorations, lights. I mean, it was it's just incredible. And, you know, really for mere pennies, I mean, just a fraction of what you would spend anywhere else.
I mean, anywhere you go. And it's not just, you know, to hit the big boxes, you know, Target, Jewel, wherever. Everything's just so expensive. And then after Christmas, it all goes on sale anyway. So why spend a lot of money when you can get it all?
Exactly. And, you know, of course, take the stuff that you don't use anymore, your old stuff, maybe your old plates that you've had for a while and you're just tired of, donate those to Goodwill, and then you can just pick up your new set while you're there. I mean, and that's a great gift as well. You know, you might want to get 4 or 6 dessert plates for someone, you know, maybe some wine glasses. I mean, really, the sky's the limit. They have so much holiday wear. It's mind-boggling, really.
Do they take donations year-round, Judy?
Absolutely. Any time of the year, any day, anytime they're open. Many of them, if not all of them, have a drive-up service. You can just drive right up. The attendant will come out, the great worker there at Goodwill, and take your donations for you and give you your, of course, tax slip that you'll need if you'd like. Yeah, it couldn't be easier. And, you know, as always, the mission of Goodwill is to get people back to work. They have these centers at many of their stores attached to them where they teach people how to get back into the workforce. They help them with their resumes. They let them use their computers. So everything you donate and every time you go shop at Goodwill, it's all going to a great cause.
And you bring up a great point, Judy. Just before the end of the year, make your donations and you get a little receipt and you can claim it on your taxes.
Absolutely. I mean, it's the thrill for me of, and I've always loved the secondhand shopping, and now of course my favorite Goodwill.
Yeah.
Is the thrill of the find. I mean, I get tired of stuff after a while. You just don't use it anywhere. You don't need it, and we just all have too much stuff. So I love just taking bags of my stuff there, and then if I take two bags, I try to only wear one.
Right.
So I just kind of downsize, but I mean, I love going in and just getting new stuff. And a lot of times I'll get something in it. That's really something I thought I could use, but then I end up not, and I just go donate it right back to Goodwill. And there's something else that Goodwill does that I absolutely love. It's genius, and I hope people do partake in it. When you go to pay now, and if say your bill is $5.78, they'll just ask you if you'd like to go up to $6.
Right, and why not? Right? You already saved probably $50 anyway.
Exactly, and it's offered such a good cause. I do it every time because I just think it's such a great idea. I was like, why does no one do this? But hopefully no one else should do it because they're not Goodwill. But at Goodwill, of course, every penny counts, and it's just a great way to give back.
It absolutely is. And you're doing your new video tomorrow, so that'll be posted in about a week or so or sooner?
Yeah, there are a couple of days, exactly.
Okay, yep. Perfect. Excellent.
And you can find that. It lives on WJRadio.com as well as Facebook page.
Excellent. It is the great Judy Pilak. Check out her latest Goodbye Girl video. That'll be up hopefully by the weekend. And your series, which is going to air tomorrow and Thursday, all throughout the day on WGN. Judy, thank you. You are the best.
Okay. And right now, if that's you, the Goodbye Girl is going to say goodbye.
Goodbye, girl. I'll see you tomorrow, Jude. You are the best.
Bye.
That is the great Judy Pilak, and you can hear her all day long on WGN, as I said, her opioid series, which is really, really good. Trust me, it's excellent. You'll want to hear it. And the videos are all, as she said, on our Facebook page and WGNradio.com. All right, after the break, we are going to introduce you to the president of the Chicago Independent Venue League. They are calling for a delay of a huge multi-million-dollar expansion of the North Branch of the Chicago River, and we will tell you why. Let's just say it affects your concert viewing experiences throughout the city of Chicago. And that's all next on 720 WGN. It's 11:45, Patty Vasquez Show with me, Andrea Darlis. Patty has the night off. Huge thanks to Judy Pilak for hanging out with us for the past 40 minutes or so. We are going to switch gears just a little bit. Chicago has, I think, maybe in my humble opinion, the greatest music scene ever. We have the best venues, and I'm not talking just, your House of Blues and your Park West. I'm talking there are so many venues in which to see such a great show. Subterranean, Beat Kitchen, The Hideout, our friends Katie and Tim Tutton own The Hideout, Shuba's, Empty Bottle, all of these bars. I could go on and on and on. They have all banded together. They have formed the Chicago Independent Venue League. They're called Civil, and they're all owners of Chicago's Independence Performance Venues. And what they're doing is they're calling for a delay of the expansion of the North Branch of the River. It's $800 million in TIF money. It's a lot of money. And $5 billion. That's how much the whole development costs. It'll dramatically transform the city until the next mayor and the city council are seated. So this group, Civil, they want to recognize the value of the city's creative economy and introduce a platform and set of recommendations because they don't want all these smaller venues to either be demolished or destroyed or go away. So we wanted to talk to one of the head guy at Civil is Gomez. How you doing, Gomez?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Thank you for coming on tonight. I know it's late. You're the owner of Subterranean and the Beat Kitchen. Again, two of my favorite venues. I know Michael Heidemann, our producer, is a musician as well. He's played a lot of these venues. Tell us a little bit about Civil and what you want to see happen.
Well, as you described it, right, we're in a group of owners that have banded together to send a message. And you're correct. Our first step, as you described, is to ask for everyone to just slow down and let's hold off on this TIF vote until the new elected officials are in, because they're the ones that are going to be held accountable. They're the ones that are going to have to make decisions on details. And one of the biggest reasons we're asking for that delay is because the plan has not been clear. So how it impacts us, one important detail here is that several months ago, I believe in May, Live Nation put out a press release announcing that they will get 2 to 5 music venues from 200 capacity to 8,000 capacity within Lincoln Yards.
Mm-hmm.
And that woke us up.
Wow.
To say, wait a minute, what do you mean? They're just going to be gifted and granted these five? And by the way, there's a soccer stadium being built in there.
Yeah, there is.
20,000 seat soccer stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to be the Fire. Some other league, whatever. I'm sure it's going to be used plenty for soccer, but I'm also confident it's going to be used plenty for concerts. The Ricketts are going to own the soccer stadium, is what we understand. But there again are no details. How often will it be used for concerts? How many people will it fit when you add standing room only? We're talking about 30,000 people, I'm assuming. Lots of questions that aren't being answered. And it turns out Live Nation, the only information that's been added since then was at this last presentation by Sterling Bay, where they did disclose that they were receiving tens of millions of dollars from Live Nation. No specific number on which 10, if it's 50 million or whatever that number might be.
Okay.
But that's the only additional information we've gotten out of them since this press release was sent out. It's been very, very silent. We sat through the presentation, and they showed us all the different buildings, the high-rises, and the parking lot, and then skipped over. And I stopped them, and I said, wait. Where on this plan is this they're calling it the entertainment district.
Right.
Right. So where on this map is the entertainment district? I mean, you've touted about this. And then they did go back and kind of, like, used a little red light to point out where that would be. And when they went through the illustrations of the buildings, they showed us all kinds of buildings, but again, nothing for the entertainment district. It's very hush-hush, or they're being honest and there really isn't a plan. That was their response. Like, we've not planned this out yet.
Boy, it's frustrating to those of us music fans who grew up, but who come to the city and live in the city. And we love our venues. Like I mentioned Subterranean and Bee Kitchen and Hideout and Shuba's and Empty Bottle. And it goes on and on and on. And we could probably all name the first concerts musical acts that we've ever seen there. And the fact that these small independent performance venues are in danger of being shut out, you know, should be concerning to a lot of people, especially music aficionados in the city.
I certainly hope so. And yes, putting five, or if you include the soccer stadium, 6 venues right in the middle of all of us would be, and owned, and by the way, it would be exclusively run by Live Nation. No one else would have access to those venues.
Okay.
And that would change the landscape of our music scene completely. There'd be a whole lot of us put out of business.
I'm very curious. I just wonder, where's the City Planning Commission in all of this, or is this something that they haven't had a chance to look at and chew over yet?
That's a good question. Gomez, that's David Jennings in our newsroom.
Hello, David. I don't know. From what I understand, the plan is now a proposal.
Yeah.
But it's hard to know what we are being shown versus what the city has reviewed. If there's been a lot of backdoor conversations, I guess is what that much we know.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't know what's been promised, and we really don't know what's real. So on the surface, it doesn't seem like the city has approved anything yet. They're asking for TIF dollars before there's an approved plan. So kind of, we're hoping by delaying the TIF, we can force the issue of a much more transparent process. And let's put those dots over the I and cross the T's before we start asking for money. How many venues? It almost sounds like it's supposed to be a shopping mall of music venues.
That's exactly, I mean, when you were describing it, Gomez, when you first started talking about it, it reminded me like of a mini mall, you know, or like a strip mall.
Exactly, which sounds disgusting, but
right.
But here's the thing about music lovers. I mean, we will stand in mud. Sometimes we're not quite sure what we're standing in, and we don't want to look down or figure it out. We're just going to stand there because we love the band that we're watching.
Sure.
The point is, we'll go anywhere if the right bands are booked, and Live Nation has the power to do that. They have the power to block people out. And just to be clear, this is not an anti-Live Nation.
No, band. No.
I work with them. Many of the venues that are part of this group have contracts with them. We have a strong relationship with them. I mean, they own Lollapalooza now. They own Ticketmaster, which owns Ticketweb. So there's a lot of already developed relationships, but it would give them the power to put a lot of us out.
Right, and that's the concern, too. I mean, and these venues that I've been naming, Michael, you've played at some of these as well. There's Metro, Smart Bar, who are all part of Civil. And just say, and everyone's just saying, you know, hey, we want just a place at the table. We want to know what you're doing and don't shut us out. So I think that's pretty fair.
Exactly. It's astonishing to see what's going on. I mean, after the death of the Double Door, and I know that there's news about it up and coming like that.
Yeah.
Chicago thrives on what we create and the people that we bring up. I mean, we had a music artist on last Friday who was saying the fact that it's this influence and this art that kind of creates the people that we are,
right?
And losing this as here in Chicago, I don't think is a good direction, because as the more and more that things get corporate, the more and more that there's evil around the turn, and you know, creating these memories with your friends are just as important as making money.
I saw Joan Jett at the Double Door years ago.
That's
I did. I can remember. Oh, I saw the Cowsills at Shuba's. Oh, I could, Gomez. I could be. You know, I could just go on and on. But you want to see it at the table.
One thing I want to add, if I may.
Yeah, please.
Because you're talking about Double Door and them coming back, and that reminded me of.
Yeah.
For those that are looking at us saying, oh, we are just afraid of competition,
no.
That's not it at all. In fact, one of the founding members is the owner of Sleeping Village, which just opened, but opened in Avondale. And here's what happens. When people go to a show in Avondale, and you've all been to shows, many shows,
yeah.
You're most likely to eat before the show and sometimes after and sometimes both,
mm-hmm.
in the same community where that show is. So Avondale benefits from having a venue there, not because people are going to that, not only because they're going to that show, but they're going to go to a restaurant or a bar afterwards, and it starts to feed the community that it's within. We're talking about 5-6 venues being in this little Disney World area, sucking that out of those other communities that rely on those venues. It's a huge impact, not just the music venues, but to those independent. The neighborhoods that we have so much more personality.
It's true. It's true. And you guys had a meeting at Park Community Church last week. I'm sure there's going to be other meetings and I guess just gatherings, and just again asking the city to slow down till after the mayoral election. And then have a civil discussion about all of it. Gomez, where can we find more information out about Civil and your cause and the Coalition to Protect the Creative Economy?
Oh, I wish I had that in front of me. We do have our website up there. And, of course, just so the listener knows, it's CIVL is the name of the organization. So CIVLChicago.org.
Perfect.
And we have all social media that they'll be able to find as well.
Well, keep us posted and let us know how everything goes. We got our fingers crossed for you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you so much. That's Gomez. He is the owner of Subterranean and Beat Kitchen. You can get more information on the Chicago Independent Venue League on their website. We'll be back after this with David Jennings and the news. It's 12:07. Good morning to you. It's the Patty Vasquez Show with me, Andrea Darlis. Patty is off tonight. We have been talking with Dave Schwann and Dave Miranda to kick off the show about the bicentennial. They had their big celebration last night at Navy Pier. Joe Montana was there. Kevin Cronin was there. The performers from Hamilton. Of course, George Wendt and the super fans. So we were giving out some prizes for those of you who knew some Illinois trivia. And the Chicago Tribune, to commemorate the bicentennial of the state of Illinois, 1818 was our founding. They came up with this list of foods, 20 things every Illinoisan should eat at least once. And I was kind of happy. I've been to maybe, I think, a half dozen of these places, but they're all over the state of Illinois. And I'm just wondering, in all of our respective travels and our lives, and Michael, I know you went to DePaul. David, where did you go? Where did you grow up? Which area? Jennings? The south suburbs? Oh, he's not listening. He's listening to a piece of tape. Where'd you grow up, Michael? You grew up way up north, right?
Yeah, I grew up in the northwest suburbs in McHenry.
Okay. I grew up in south suburbs, okay. Orland Park, Oak Lawn and Orland Park area. And actually, I've lived in Illinois my whole life. So, because I went to school at the University of Illinois, so I live in Champaign-Urbana. I worked in Joliet for a number of years before I came here. So I've lived from Champaign-Urbana north.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've been to a lot of places in the state, or so I thought. How about Schwani, though? He's been everywhere.
He really has. He's like that Johnny Cash song, "I've Been Everywhere, Man."
Yeah.
I mean, it's for real incredible when we have Schwani in the room to see how much knowledge he has in his mind.
Schwani is like a walking encyclopedia, isn't he?
He is. It's incredible.
Just the trivia and the things that he knows.
Yeah.
I love Schwani.
Yeah, but so you lived your entire life in Illinois.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
I've never lived anywhere else except Illinois.
But this is a great state. Like,
it is.
The way that they were talking about it and how we do have the most history out of any state is pretty exciting.
I love the history and I love the trivia. I'm going to name some of these places. Tell me if you've been, where have you lived besides Illinois?
I lived in Illinois, and then I moved to Costa Rica for a few months.
Oh, that's right.
And then I moved to Southern Utah. I lived in Tinley Park.
You live in Tinley?
Yes. Before I was in radio, I was going to school to become a special education teacher.
Okay.
And that's where I worked out in Tinley Park.
Get out. What years did you live in Tinley Park?
It must have been.
Trying to think if we passed each other.
2012. Shout out to Pops. They have the best food.
I've been to Pops.
I do love Pops.
Do you remember Junior's, which is now Don's?
Oh, no. I didn't spend enough. I didn't live
hot
there
dogs?
Long enough.
God.
Under a year.
You know what they do? This is going to sound gross, but it's really good. They boil their hot dogs.
Mm-hmm.
I know people like them on the grill, and it's really good, too. Mm-hmm. They boil the hot dogs, but then they just slather them with everything. The green relish, the peppers, the celery salt. They put a ton of celery salt on, which I love on a hot dog.
Man.
Mustard, no ketchup.
Yes, ketchup.
David.
Oh.
Wait, you know what? Wait. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Michael. I'm kidding, David.
I thought you were going to give him the reverb for a second.
Wait. Yes, ketchup.
Oh, let me do it. Okay, do it again.
Yes, ketchup.
Oh, he
it doesn't work
doesn't
on
quite
me.
Have the same.
No.
Jennings, where'd you grow up?
Brooklyn.
You grew up in Brooklyn?
Mm-hmm.
And how long have you been in Illinois?
Since 1997.
Okay, so 20 so plus 21 years. 21 years, yeah. You came, is that when you came to Illinois in 97?
Oh, no. I left New York City in 1976.
Okay.
So I moved to Hyde Park.
Okay.
Then within a couple of months, I was in Poughkeepsie.
Poughkeepsie. And for then, work or just
yeah,
for fun?
For work.
Okay.
And then I moved to Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Okay. Well, you've been all over.
Then D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Then Philadelphia. Then here.
Holy cow. So you have been everywhere, like the Johnny Cash song.
I haven't done the left coast yet. So
no.
Who knows?
But you're still young. You're still a young whippersnapper. There's plenty of time.
There is room for more travel.
I
shall
see young Michael Heidemann ending up at some point in L.A. because you're a musician, a performer. You know, you're young.
Yeah.
You're into, like, you know, that scene. So I see you
or
being
New
in L.A.
York.
L.A. or New York, yeah.
Or New York. Oh,
yeah.
You've got session. There's session work on both coasts.
Yeah, because you just went to New York, too, a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I went to New York. And actually, I didn't mention this, but I went to UCLA for a few months during the summer. So I did live in Los Angeles for a teeny bit. I love it there. But honestly.
Have you been through an earthquake?
I You know what? I was born in Santa Barbara in California, and I remember.
I love Santa Barbara.
Some of my first memories were hiding in a closet with my mom and my dad.
Really?
This is why L.A., New York, nothing beats Chicago.
I know.
I mean, we have it all.
We don't have earthquakes.
No earthquakes.
That's right. I mean, we have cold weather, but.
We don't have drought. We don't have the same kind of drought.
No.
And we haven't had any wildfires yet. Watch 2019 prove us wrong.
I know, right? Bite our tongues. Okay, Michael, you're born in Santa Barbara. Do you still have a house there that I could buy from you and just live off the coast?
Gosh, I wish. That'd be amazing. My family sold our house in the early 90s, and then like the next 5 years, it tripled in price, and now you can't get a house underneath $1 million.
Do you guys ever go on, not Priceline, but do you ever go on any of those realtor.com sites and just look at all the beautiful homes on all the different coasts?
I can dream.
Is that just me?
Yeah,
that's just me.
Where are you looking on the coast? What you would do, like right on the water's edge?
I would love to live in California if there were no earthquakes. You've got to take that into account. Mm-hmm. You think about retiring, California. But again, you got the quakes. Florida, I love Florida, but they
have
the hurricanes.
It'll be underwater soon.
Exactly, and I love Arizona. But I know it gets to be, 150 degrees with the heat index.
But it's that wonderful dry heat.
I know. I don't get
that. I have a word for that phrase. I'm not going to say it.
Does it start with B?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Does it end with T?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Could it be initial? No. I agree.
Don't need to say anymore.
I feel that way, too, because people say, there's a dry heat in Arizona. But I know people who go there, for 6 months of the year, and their allergies are great. For some reason... their allergies seem to be okay in that weather.
It's like Las Vegas. It has dry heat. I've been to Las Vegas.
Same. Yeah.
I spent most of my time in the hotel.
In the casino gambling. Oh,
no, I don't gamble.
Okay.
I learned my lesson.
Yeah.
But it's either in the hotel room or wandering around the hotel. I am not going outside.
I'm that way too.
110 degrees. Are you insane?
I like swimming. I love to swim. I'll go in the pool in Vegas. I'll go in the pool in Arizona. But yeah, it's very hot for me. So I'll probably just stay in Chicago. I've never left Illinois, so
I don't see it
happen anytime soon.
If the opportunity presents itself, don't just say no right out of hand.
I'll just say I know the Heidemans. I'll go to Santa Barbara and say, I know the Heidemans. Can I have this beautiful beach house?
You should say you know the Devlantises.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Anna and her husband have a place out there.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of syllables, the Devlantises.
I got to call her. I'm going to see how she's doing. I got to see if we are related. All the Greeks are related at some point.
Well, she must let you.
Devlantis is Greek?
Stop it. You know that.
No. I thought it was Italian.
No, it's Anna Devlantis. She's a Greek.
Oh,
she's one of my people.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you know what my name? You know what Darlis used to be, David?
It's got to be a long one.
Papagannakopoulos.
Papagannakopoulos?
Yes.
That's easy.
That was what it was shortened from.
How did they get from Papagannakopoulos to Darlis?
Oh, do you have that?
That is a radical shift.
You were here last night, David. We had Sally Struthers, who could not have been nicer. She was just adorable. She was on with us in the 7 o'clock hour talking about her new movie, which, by the way, came out today, You and Me.
Her legal name isn't...
No, but her... No. But her best friend growing up, do you have that cut, Michael, or do we have to search for it? This is Sally Struthers, and we immediately had that bond, that Greek connection, me and Sally Struthers, because her best friend growing up was Greek. Do you have it?
Okay.
Right? Just like Papagannakopoulos, very, very similar.
Well, my best friend, may she rest in peace, was a Greek lady, and she married a Greek man, and so if you said her whole name with her married name at the end of it, she was Pepina Spiros Winakis Thamopoulos.
Get out of town. You have to say it again. That's awesome.
Pepina Spiros Winakis Thamopoulos, but her kids called her Betty.
That's true.
That's a mouthful.
Like growing up, that's all of my Greek friends had these big long names, and my friend Athena Roumiotis, everybody called her Becky. I'm not kidding you.
I don't see the straight line from one to the other.
I know.
There's something missing in there.
You know what, though? We invented civilization, so I guess it's okay, right? We can take a few liberties
here and
there.
Then we should learn how to pronounce your name.
Right. Papagannakopoulos.
Papagannakopoulos is not all that hard.
Uh-huh.
I had a Polish friend whose name was Szapaluski. And
Szapaluski.
Yeah, and he went by Czap. Because
CZAP.
Yeah, so it was kind of hip.
Although when I was my first full-time job, almost all the jocks were Italian, and they didn't use their real names.
Okay.
So the midday guy was on the air known as Jerry Knight.
Okay.
His real name was Carlo Olimpieri.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Isn't that fantastic? I love
that. The midday guy was a guy named Al Warren. I think he's still with us.
Okay.
His real name is Salvatore Capello.
I love that. I wish they'd use those names.
And the night guy's name was Frank Derrick. His real name, Emilio Speranzo.
See, I wish they would have used their real names.
But you have to remember, there was a time when you couldn't be on radio if your name was ethnic.
That's right.
It was bad enough to be black, but that was a no-no off the bat. But ethnics, the name, no. You, Smith, Jones, something. No.
Oh, I know. I've had people, I mean, Darlis is easy, but I've had people, you know, when I first started many, many years ago.
Wanted you to change it?
Yeah, like
why?
Like Dars or Dar. Yeah, I don't know why.
Really?
Yeah, and I know there's people, you know, on our air who don't use their real names.
Mm-hmm.
But I won't say
Michael Heidemann.
Michael Heidemann.
It's funny we're talking about this because with some of the, changing your name has a lot to do with you, with who you are and who you can become. One of the most famous names in the world, Tom Cruise.
Yeah, what's his Mapother? What's his last name?
Thomas Cruise Mapother the Fourth.
Mapother, yeah. Isn't that weird?
What was Cary Grant's real name? I should remember this because he didn't use his real name either.
Do you want it?
Yeah, what is it? Archibald, right?
Archibald Reginald
Leach. Yes.
Jeez.
Oh my God! And this Meryl Streep's real name is Meryl Streep, right? Jodie Foster's real name is not Jodie Foster. It's Alicia Christian, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Foster.
Yeah. Foster. Okay. So she did keep the Foster part. Isn't that funny?
I wonder why, what route? Is somebody telling them to change their names, or are they like loving these names from the start?
That's a great, great question. I think they're told because George Stephanopoulos was in years ago. Milt Rosenberg had George Stephanopoulos on, and he was having a conversation with us about this with him. And he said, George Stephanopoulos said that everybody, when he went from political strategist to TV consultant, and now obviously he's George Stephanopoulos, everybody knows who he is. Everybody, even up until he got, you know, famous, was saying, you have
get
to change
rid of
your
the
name. You got to change it. You had a Stevens or Steffens, and he didn't, which good for him.
Yeah, and now look at that. And what about like guys like Zach Galifianakis?
I know.
He had the same exact thing going through his
life. I know, right? We'll do some more weird some weird celebrity names you didn't know instead of the food. The one food that I want to go back to real quick, though, that you guys all have to try. Being a native Southsider, rainbow cone. That made the list of the food of 20 things every Illinoisan should eat at least once. Lars Bar was on there, baby back ribs, cinnamon rolls, but rainbow cone came in at number 8. You guys, if you've never had a rainbow cone, I'm going to bring them in because they're open all year round now.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like ice cream?
Oh, I love ice cream.
David, you like ice cream, right? I'm going to try
as long as it's chocolate.
All right, I'm going to try and get rainbow cone in by the end of the week. Yeah, there's a little chocolate in there. It's 6 different flavors all on one cone. Mm. You got your orange sherbet, your pistachio, your New York-style cherry. It's like a Palmer House, it's called. Strawberry and chocolate.
Mm.
Yeah, we'll get that going. All right, more strange names coming up.
That's not my name.
WGN. Boy, you never know on our show what we're going to be talking about. We'll start out talking about something and then just take a complete 360 and go the complete opposite direction. So now we're talking about names and people's real names and people who have shortened their names and celebrity names. But before we finish that, I have to take it. I'm very distraught at Donna's call, Michael. Can we take the 708? Donna, you have...
Hi.
Please tell me that's not true.
Well, I was at Myers, last week. They close down for the winter time, and they open up around Easter every year.
But I thought they were going to stay open year-round this year.
Well, it looked pretty closed to me.
Donna.
You might want to give them a call before you go wandering on over there.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm going to head down to 91st and Western and have to come right back. But thank you, Donna.
Well, it's a nice trip anyway.
It is. I love the South Side. Beverly, Monk, Greenwood, those are my people.
Yeah, come visit Top Notch, if nothing else.
I love Top Notch. The square hamburgers.
Oh,
and the green
barbecue beef is wild too.
Oh, they have the best burgers. I'm going to do a trip of the South Side. I said I was going to take Patty and Michael and David Jennings. Now I'm taking you guys all to the South Side. Top Notch has these square hamburgers, and they have a Green River milkshake.
You mean White Castle?
Have you also been over to 103rd and the Metro train tracks at Calabria?
Yep, I've been there, and I've been to, what's the other one off 103rd and Western, right over there that makes the good milkshakes and the homemade soup? Not Jameson's.
Oh, Jansen's, isn't
That's it? Jansen's. I love that, too.
You are a tasty person.
I am. I'm a true Southsider, Donna.
Exactly. Somebody who knows good food.
There you go, my friend. Hey, have a great night. Thanks for the call, Donna.
You too. Take care.
All right, you too. We're talking about names, but I just had to find out if Rainbow Cones was closed or not. I thought they were staying open for the winter.
Yeah, but Wendy's has square burgers.
Yeah, but these are phenomenal. They put two patties on, and they're both square, and you put cheese in between. And I'm telling you, they are. And they toast the bun. It's like one of those, not a pretzel bun, but like an egg bun.
You're going to give Heidemann and me a heart attack.
I know.
Okay?
I'm gonna hook you guys up, though.
I'm hungry.
I'm gonna set you off. I promise. By the end of the week, we'll bring some Southside food in. All right, I have to give you guys a couple of names. Katy Perry, her real name is Katie Hudson, and she changed it for that reason because she didn't want people to think she was Kate Hudson.
Oh, that's smart. And I think, isn't her dad a famous pastor down in wherever she's from, too?
Yes, you're right.
Probably, yeah. I don't think her music.
I don't think so.
And another reason for name changes in the union, if someone already is using your name, you literally cannot use your name. You have to use a different name.
Right, like that's how Michael's namesake, that's how Michael J. Fox, Michael J. Fox's real name is Michael, I think it's Michael Allen Fox or Michael Allen Fox, and he wanted to use Michael A. Fox, but there
somebody
was already
had
so he had to put the J in. So that's Michael J. Fox's. Did you guys know that Albert Brooks's real name? This is not a joke. Is Albert Einstein?
You know what?
Did you know that?
That's hilarious. I think I heard that in a podcast this past week.
And it says the reason for the name change should be pretty obvious.
That's so unfortunate.
Yeah, that could make life very interesting.
I'm going to give you guys a couple of names, and you tell me who this is. These are very, very, very famous Hollywood celebrities. Mm-hmm. Alan Konigsberg. Alan Konigsberg.
Mm-hmm.
He has, the name that he uses has part of that name in the stage name that he uses. He's a very famous director.
Woody Allen.
Yeah.
Alan Konigsberg?
Yep. Alan Konigsberg.
Huh.
Do you know what, let's see, Joaquin Phoenix's real name is?
don't have a clue.
Jack Griswold.
Joaquin Bottom.
Really?
Yeah, Joaquin
Bottom.
Yeah, he changed it for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
He didn't want Bottom as his last name.
So wait, is his Rivers Bottom is his brother?
I guess so. River must be his real name.
River's Bottom. That doesn't sound
River Phoenix,
very
River
good,
Bottom.
To be
crazy. Okay, here's one. I'll give you. Okay. Natalia Nikolaeva Zakharenko.
Nicolas Cage.
It's a woman.
Oh.
Natalie Wood?
But close. Yes. How did you get that?
Natalia
Nikolaeva Zakharenko.
Russian?
I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Yes. I believe so. Okay, I'll give you one more. Demetria Gynes. Demetria Gynes.
Female?
Yes, female. Demetria. Part of her name is in her stage name. Demetria Gynes.
Demetria Gynes?
Think of the first name.
Demi Moore.
Yes, very good. You don't win anything.
Okay.
You just get to do the news.
Well, thank you.
That's David Jennings. Okay, after David does the news, we're going to introduce you to a very special woman, Stacey Rago, who's going to tell us about this wonderful organization called One Hope united and how no one should go without a present this holiday season. We'll explain much, much more after David Jennings gives you your news right now on 720 WGN. 1235, 720 WGN. Hope you're all enjoying the, I guess, kind of the start of the holiday season. We kind of started around Thanksgiving. The lights are all up. Everything's red and green. The stores are in full force. All the sales are going on. But don't forget to be charitable and to give this holiday season. I wanted to introduce you to my friend Stacy Rago, who is the big woman in charge of this wonderful organization called One Hope United. Stacy, good evening. How are you? I should say good morning.
Hello.
Hey, Stacy. Thanks for joining us so early in the morning.
No problem. I'm glad to be here.
Hey, tell us all about One Hope United. I know it's a social service nonprofit, and you have been around for more than 100 years, but tell everybody about your mission.
Sure. We've actually been around for 123 years. We serve about 9,000 children and families every year and offer programs that educate children, strengthen families, prevent child abuse, and address other family challenges. We have services ranging from early learning centers, family and personal counseling, parenting classes. We also have foster care support, residential services, and we even run an alternative school.
You have a really innovative way to raise funds during this holiday season and during the giving season. It's an effort called Wishbook, and I just was so taken by this when my friend Michelle D'Amico, I said, we're always going to claim Michelle as family because she was here at WGN for many years. But she was telling me about this, and I said, this is one of the most generous ideas I've ever heard about online when it comes to giving and to charity. So tell us about Wishbook.
Oh, absolutely. Wishbook is actually, it starts as a storybook, tells the story of a child. This year, it's one that's interested in science. But it ends with suggestions on ways to make meaningful gifts. It's really a cross between gift giving and making a sustainable impact. You know, we know that people love to shop for gifts for those in need, but they also want to give in a way that there's a more lasting effect. So the items that we offer for purchase at the end of the wish book are just that. They're gifts that can change a person's life. They're things like you can donate $30 to pay for GED testing for a student who needs that and doesn't have the ability to pay for it. Mm-hmm. It was all types of things like that really are gonna have an impact much beyond the holiday season.
Right, and you're right. When people are looking to give for the holiday season, a lot of people like to give a gift or, you know, not just a gift card, but knowing what it will go toward. Just, you know, I guess for our own meaning, you know, just to say, I really want to help this person with whatever it is, getting their GED. And there were so many neat items on here. One that really stood out in my mind was you can support pet therapy for victims of trauma for as low as $50 or $60.
$60, absolutely. We actually do a couple types of pet therapy. We have therapy dogs that come to a residential campus, but we also have some kids who go to horse therapy and create a really meaningful bond and a trust relationship with an animal. And that's a first step toward rebuilding trust for people. So that therapy can be really enriching for somebody who's experienced trauma in their lives.
That equine therapy is so wonderful. My cousin's friend's daughter has cerebral palsy, and at one point, Stacy, they told her that she would not walk. She did equine therapy, and now she walks with the help of braces and crutches, and it's just remarkable to see how far she's come just with that particular therapy.
It's fantastic, yeah, and we see the same types of things. There are so many meaningful opportunities in this book. One of them that is really popular that we're finding that people are really drawn towards is providing a bed for a child in foster care. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, a child is brought into foster care sometimes in the middle of the night. It's a last minute thing, and the family that they're placed with may or may not have a bed for them. So, you know, we have funds available that can get that child a bed right away, and they have a warm and safe place to stay that night. It means a great deal for a child in that situation.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that was one that really stood out for me, too, when I saw that kids can not only choose their own bedroom, but the decor. You know, how cool is that, right, to be able to decorate their own bedroom?
Right. And they have so many things that are out of control in their lives. To be able to choose the things that they can surround themselves with, it means a lot.
And not just little kids, too. There's also a section for talk about the part where you're going to be buying clothes for their first job interview, too.
Exactly right. A lot of, youth for their first real job, quote unquote, real job, to be able to go and choose the tie and choose the suit, have the shoes, for $75, you can really help a youth get ready for that very, very important first job interview.
It's just absolutely wonderful. It's onehopeunited.org/wishbook. Is that right? Or /wishbook2018?
It's wishbook.onehopeunited.org.
Okay.
And another way that folks can find us is on social media. Our handle is @1HopeUnited.
Mm-hmm.
We're about to start our 12 Days of Wishbook campaign December 13th. And so we share, a lot of these different opportunities and explain a little bit about them. One of them, I think, that your listeners might be interested in, if I can be so bold, is we have a program called Sparks. It is a youth anti-violence program. And for $250, somebody can sponsor a youth to join this program. The kids who work in this are what we call acutely at risk. These are kids who may be in a gang, maybe have had violence affect them personally in their homes, and really are prime for turning their lives in a direction we don't want them to go. So this program helps teach kids how to calm themselves down, how to assess when something is a real risk versus a perceived risk. And we have kids who come out of this program saying, I used to get in fights all the time and now I don't anymore. Or my friends are now so impressed at how chill I am and I'm now teaching them how they can be as cool. Those are things we want in our schools. We really need in our schools.
Absolutely.
And people who donate to this can make that difference.
Stacey, and was it Sparks? That's the name of the program?
Sparks.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the One Hope United Sparks program. Yeah.
Okay. So if we go on the website, we can see all of this on your website.
Exactly right. You can read the story if you like. And it's interesting, the story, we've even had Girl Scout troops and Boy Scout troops read it aloud in amongst themselves so they kind of understand the context. Then you can, at the end of the story, you can see the items that are available for purchase. And I think that one of the things that people really like, mm-hmm, is that they can make a decision on, what level they can give at or what really will motivate them. Like the animal therapy stood out for you.
Yeah, it did. And the scholarship in the preschool, too, mainly because I think it was $100, and I thought you could help send a kid to preschool who otherwise might not be able to partake in preschool for $100.
Exactly right. That's going to make a difference for us to be able to add some additional days. And boy, if 10 people get together, that's a whole scholarship. So, these are really meaningful things and can change people. Our vision is to give all of the children and families that we work with a life without limits. And these types of opportunities can do just that.
And also, too, what I really like, Stacey, is you can decide $30, $100, $250. No donation is too small.
Correct. Correct. Absolutely right. We even have companies that are using this tool. They like it because their staff can get together, and they work. They all are supporting the same agency. They're supporting One Hope United, but it also gives them the opportunity to choose their own personal passions, whatever level that they feel comfortable with. They can support the pet therapy. Boy, I have friends who are animal people. They love supporting the pet therapy. The scholarship for people who have small children, they understand the value of preschool, and that might be compelling for them. We have companies like LinkedIn, McKenzie, Mintel. They're all doing this as part of their holiday campaign.
I just think it's such a wonderful organization. I'm so happy Michelle turned me on to it, because you're right. A lot of people want to see where their donations are going, or, it makes you feel good to say, I'm going to provide, whether it's pet therapy or, sending a kid to preschool, whatever it is, it's more of a concrete, I guess, more of a tangible gift that you could say, hey, I made a difference in this child's life this way.
You're absolutely right. And you get the feeling of shopping. You can still shop.
Yes, exactly. My favorite thing to do, Stacey. So tell us again.
Me too.
Tell us how we can find you on Facebook, Twitter, online, all of your social media sites.
Sure. Our handle is at, and the number one, Hope United. For the Wish Book, if you want to go directly to the Wish Book on the web, you can go to wishbook.onehopeunited, and that's the one spelled out that time, onehopeunited.org.
Excellent. And you're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram as OHU, One Hope United. Stacey, thank you so much.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. We'll talk with you again very soon. We'll check in with you again before the end of the year as well and see if you met your goal. That is Stacey Rago from One Hope United. Again, wishbook.onehopeunited.org. And you can find them all over social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. As little as $30, you can send a kid to preschool. So consider that when you're donating this holiday season. 1247, back after this on WGN. 1251, 720, WG, and just ahead of the Nick DiGilio show. God, my something happy or my feel-good moment of the evening. I guess all of our texters, the texters just pouring in tonight. Thanks, you guys. They're so sweet. Big shout-outs to Judy Pilak. She was on earlier with us, our goodbye girl, who's leaving WGN at the end of the year, but is still going to be, as I just said, our goodbye girl. People are saying we miss Judy. We love Judy. She'll still be around. So huge thanks to Judy and David Miranda and Dave Schwann for sticking around and talking about the bicentennial with us. I'm so happy. This is my something good. Rainbow Cone. Thanks, 847, and thanks everybody from the Southside texting in. Rainbow Cone hours, Friday and Saturday, noon to 8, noon to 6 on Sunday. Yes, it makes me so incredibly happy. And you can get Rainbow Cone at the Creamery in the Southwest suburbs year-round. A lot of people still texting in some crazy names as well. Clever bumper music choice, Michael. More links for Michael and David for Rainbow Cones. And an Orland Park native went to Sandberg. I went to Andrew. Just heard you talk about Junior's hot dogs, the best, especially the fries. So thank you very much. Great, great texters tonight. Michael, what's your something good?
Oh, I think you hit a rainbow nerve with our listeners.
I think so. Oh, my God.
I had a great time on the show tonight. It was I love seeing all the listener interaction that we've been having because you can just see when it comes to music, when it comes to food, and when it comes to Chicago, people always want to listen and talk about that.
We talked a lot of Chicago tonight. You know, it was really cool kind of mentioning when we talked to Gomez earlier about their group is called Civil, C-I-V-L, and they just want to have their voices heard. And it just reminded me, there's so many great music venues in the city. Like, I remember, I think I saw Garbage at the Metro years ago.
Wow.
And then, I mean, I'm sure you've seen a lot of cool bands throughout the years at these smaller venues, and it's just so fun to see him play those.
Yeah, and when I was listening to Gomez talk, it just brought back so many memories because, like I said, when you're living in Chicago, going to those shows, going to these small venues, going to Rainbow Cone and these things that are so hyper-centric Chicago are the things that you remember. I mean, even when people leave the city, we were talking about how Tina Fey would always talk about going back to these bars in the city, or George Wendt would still want to, you know, be a part of this community.
Yeah.
It's so great. I remember there was one time when I was playing at Subterranean, which Gomez owns, when I was about 21 years old, because I needed to get into the bar. I mean, hush, hush, maybe I had a fake ID back then.
No,
speaking of different names, maybe my name was a different name back then. But we played at their open mic at the Subterranean, and then all of a sudden, there's this group of people comes up with slicked back hair and like 50s outfits and everything, and they were so good at their music, and it was just us and this 50s group ends up being Million Dollar Quartet.
No.
The show down the street who's coming in to practice music while we were doing this open mic night.
Isn't that awesome? I mean, every time you say a venue like that, so like you said Subterranean, and I remember seeing a band there, and two of my friends worked at Leary Children's Hospital. One still works there. One works in Michigan now, and they were audiologists. So they knew sign language, obviously. So these guys were kind of hitting on them, and they pretended as though, and they shouldn't have done this. This is many, many years ago.
They were
deaf, and they started signing. And then and the guys were like, you know, we don't know sign language. And then they kind of walked away. And then a few minutes later, they came back, and they're just talking. They had a few cocktails at that point.
They're
talking and laughing. And he's like, wait a minute. And they're like, oh, it's a miracle. It's just a miracle. We were listening to the band, and these guys were like, oh, my God, that's amazing. That is so crazy. That's so cool. But then I remember Martyrs, too, mm-hmm. the first show I ever saw there, my mm-hmm. friend Bruce Lamont, who is actually the lead singer of Led Zeppelin, too.
That's
yeah, we Bruce went to high Lamont. School together. Yes. Yeah, Bruce is such a good guy.
I thought that name sounded familiar.
He's awesome, and he's so talented, and his was the first show I ever saw at Martyrs.
Man, and see, that's another great venue, just small, hyper Chicago, and it's cool because everyone has a memory, no matter where you go in the world, about Chicago.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's absolutely my good thing, but that's my good thing every single day.
I think so, too. I think so. Are you playing this weekend, by the way? Do you have any gigs coming up?
Yeah, I am playing this weekend over at Bill's Bar and Burger. It's on State and Hubbard Street. I'd love to see everybody. We have a lot of people who are just WGN fans who go there, and they'll play music, and then we'll talk about their favorite hosts, and they're like, oh, yeah, I love Andrew. I love Patty and the rest of the team, and,
yeah.
and we're just playing music all night, and it's just it's a lot of fun being there and getting to reach out to people. Yeah, but I have that, and then we're trying to get some other stuff going on with the holiday season, you know, if anybody needs a guitar player.
Would you do that? Would you play some? You should play our holiday party.
Oh my gosh!
Look at I'm booking you. Wait, let me talk to our bosses. Not that they have entertainment already set up, of course. Without
okay.
asking you first,
I will go if you play the percussion and Vic Vaughn sings.
Oh, I'm in.
That's what I would love.
Vic can sing. I don't know. I absolutely cannot sing.
Michael, you threw me under the bus.
I know. You're apparently singing at the holiday party. So you better get those pipes out, mister.
That will not be happening.
I'm playing percussion. It's so interesting you say that. What band did we have in recently? And it was a female drummer. And I said, I always wanted to play
Bleach Party.
Yes. Yeah, Bleach Party. They were awesome. And then Jenny Rockus was in mm-hmm. a few months ago.
So
she
good.
Started out as a drummer. She's so good. We got to get the Priscillas in here.
Yes.
But they won't ever let me, like, I'll say, oh, can I try? And they're like, no. Just you sit in the crowd and listen.
They should give you like the triangle, like in Spinal Tap. Just ting, ting.
Cowbell.
Yeah, more cowbell. There you go, Vic, right? More cowbell. Do you well, I know you play guitar, drums. Mm-hmm. Vic, do you play an instrument?
I play a little guitar, but I'm not a guitar player. Let's be clear.
I can
strum around a little bit. You know, like back in the 90s, I picked up a guitar and I learned how to play three chords. And you can do a lot with three chords.
Oh yeah,
right,
you
Michael?
Can. What Absolutely. Song can you play? If I hand you a guitar right now, what song can you play?
The first song I ever learned was "Every Rose Has Its Thorn."
Oh, Poison,
yeah.
Sure.
And yeah, gosh, I don't know. You know, I also used to play a lot of old 97 stuff just because I love them so much.
Ah,
so
nice.
I don't know what I would. I actually picked one up here the other day. There's a guitar here in the studio and played around a little bit.
Did you? Whose is that?
I don't know. It's in this editing booth over here.
I think that's Brian Altimer. It's the Rokon's executive producer.
Oh, Brian, it's yeah. Vic Vaughn was playing your ex.
I know.
The only song I know how to play, I could play the first part of Running Down a Dream.
Mm-hmm.
That do-do-do-do-do-do. That's why whenever you play that, I get excited because I'm like, oh, I know three chords of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I love rock and roll.
Oh, yeah.
Da, 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 da. Those are just, yeah, those are, that's so bad, though.
Sometimes that's all you need. I'm sure, Vic, you probably know this. When you were young and you saw a guitar, all you need to know was either Wonderwall or, right. or Free Fallin', and you had every campfire
down.
Oh, yeah,
Tom Petty.
I mean, that was it.
Exactly. And, you know, if you have a guitar and you can play three chords, you're the most popular guy at a campfire.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
know, you just keep it going.
Where were you guys having campfires?
You know, just around. We like to...
Oh, yeah. You just go and look, you take your guitar, look for the nearest campfire.
Yeah, down in a River North.
you guys are just hanging out at the campgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
When I picked the guitar up, I was very young. I think I just turned 21, and I was stationed in Okinawa. And
uh-huh.
we would, a couple of us Americans would learn how to play at the same time. And we would go down to the seawall when the sun was setting and try to pick up girls. That's what we used to do there.
Hey, can I play you a little Poison?
Yeah,
can I play
exactly.
you some Every Rose Has Its Thorn?
Right.
Hey, baby. Vic, they weren't speaking English,
yeah,
but
very little, yeah.
over by the seawall.
He's like, no. I wrote this guy. Girl.
Yeah, I'm yeah. pretty sure. Yeah.
My name is Axel.
My name is Brett Michaels.
Oh, wait. That's right. Brett Michaels.
Just call me CeCe.